hope. Okay, so Bruchim Avoyim, welcome back. We're going to begin the mission on the Chof based on the base. On the second very wide line, Haya Oymed Betzila. So, as mentioned, by the way, we'll be continuing for the while on Zoom, and we'll assess the situation. I guess maybe after Shavuos, we'll see. What's the general situation, by the way, in the country?
Getting better. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wherever I go, more and more people I see with going around without masks.
Mm-hmm. Is that leader
over? Next week it will be the Ministry of Health's view that outside you don't have to wear masks, but inside they still recommend wearing them.
And the numbers are generally low?
Yes, that's why they're opening up everything, really. In Israel, it's good. In the rest of the world, it's not good. So that, because they haven't managed to vaccinate. But in Britain, they've done not so badly with the vaccination.
Okay.
Because they're vaccinated.
Fine, back to our story. Zogt, the Heilige Mishnah, the Chof Beis, Omed Beis. Hoya Oymeid Betzila. Somebody was standing in the middle of davening, the Nizkar Shehu Baal Keri. And he all of a sudden remembered that he's a Baal Keri. So of course, this refers us back to the sugyas that we were learning just before Pesach, that a Baal Keri is essentially not supposed to daven. So certainly, had he realized he was a Baal Keri before davening, he wouldn't have started, but he didn't. And therefore he began davening, and he only remembered whilst in the middle. So the question is, what do you do now? Do you carry on? Do you stop? Says the Mishnah, Hayoimid the Tfilah, the Nizkar Shu Baal Keri. If somebody was in the middle of davening and he remembers that he's a Baal Keri, Loi Yafsik. He should not interrupt his davening. Remember, the whole issue of a Baal Keri davening is not an Issa min HaTorah. It's not an Issa min HaTorah. In fact, there was a discussion, maybe Mutter, but even those who say that it's Asa, it's definitely not an Issa min HaTorah. This is the Takana of Ezra. That was the whole discussion. But Al Kol Ponim Va'Eifen, so therefore, were it to be an absolute Issa, so certainly, even if it would be in the middle of Shemona Esrei, it would have to stop abruptly there and then. But it's not. It's a rabbinic enactment. So the question therefore becomes, how far did they take it? Did they even say, not only should you not start, but you should even stop in the middle? So that the Mishnah says again, Hayoimid v'tfila v'nizka shuval keri, no, they did not go that far, because they clearly said, loy yafsik, you should not interrupt your Shemona Esra in the middle. However, you also should not proceed as normal. Elo Yikatzer. Says Rashi, the first Rashi on the Mishnah, Lo Yafsik Tfilosoi Legamri. He should not interrupt his Tfilah, he should not stop his Tfilah completely. Elo Yikatzer Kol Brocha Ubrocha. Rather, he should shorten each and every bracha. This is a sugya that we learned earlier on in the perek, that there exists, as it were, a shortened version of every bracha. Va'omer kol habrachos b'kotzer. And he should say all of the brachos, meaning the remaining brachos, those that he hasn't said yet, he should say them b'kotzer, he should say the shortened version of them. So like we explained before, the Issa is Midrabanon. So Midrabanon, this is what they are saying. You do not, on the one hand, need to stop your Shemona Esra. You don't, however, continue as normal. You do the compromise. You continue, but the shortened version. Now the Mishnah continues with a completely different halacha. Now, by way of introduction, we need to know, in order to understand this halacha, that it might not be the general custom nowadays, but me'ikar adin, one is supposed to be saying Kriya Shema at Neitz Hachama. We have learned early on and elsewhere in this Masechta, there is a Seif Zman. Until when? Until 3 hours into the day. But when is the optimum time to say Kriya Shema? The answer is that before Netzachim or at Netzachim. So this is what the Mishnah is about to discuss. Says the Mishnah, Yorad Litboil. If somebody descended to be Toivel, whenever we talk about Tefillah, we always say Yorad because he's either Toiveling in a mikveh or Toiveling in the sea, and you go down to the sea or down into the mikveh. So Yorad Litboil, he descended to Toivel. And the question now arises that the Zman of Kriya Shema is approaching. Will he have time to get out and say Kriya Shema whilst out and fully dressed? Or will he not have time, and therefore the question arises, does there exist the concept of saying Kriya Shema whilst in the mikveh? Yorad litboil, so if somebody descended into the mikveh or to the sea, im yochel la'alos, if he is able to ascend, the opposite of yorad, if he's able to go back up, ule hiskasos, and to cover himself, to get dressed, or at least cover himself, the likros, and to recite Kriya Shema, and he's able to do all of that, ad shaloi tehei honeitz hachamo, He'll manage to do all of that, and the Netzachim will not pass him by. Then wonderful, that's exactly what he should do. Then Yale, the Yiskase, the Yikro. Then indeed he should arise, he should ascend from the mikveh, he should cover himself, the Yikro, and he should recite Kriya Shema. The Imlav, but if he has no time for that, meaning, it's almost Netzachim, and by the time he would get out and get dressed, he would miss Netzachim. Then Yiskase b'mayim. Then he would cover himself with the water. Now, one needs to know, what does that mean, Yiskase b'mayim? Does that mean simply that the water acts as a cover? Or does he actively have to do something in the water? How do you translate those words? Yiskase b'mayim. He will be covered in the water. What, passively, or does he have to do something? This halacha, by the way, although it might seem very strange and non-relevant, is actually relevant every single day, this halacha. Every single day this halacha is nageya. Perhaps not for men necessarily, but for women. A woman who has to table in the mikveh, and we know that they say the bracha. Now the question is, when exactly should they recite the bracha? So there's a whole discussion, but the bottom line is, they go into the mikveh, they dip, they then say the bracha, and they dip again. So they have this issue. How do they say the bracha, which is obviously a davar shebekdusha, including Hashem's name, whilst in the mikveh, non-clothed? So they are going to have to rely on this halacha, that the water serves as a covering. But the question is, once again, what does that mean? Is there anything actively that they have to do, or does it just mean that the water can itself be a covering? Now we have to understand what this means. Water is obviously, hopefully, transparent. So in what way does it act as a covering? So let's continue a little bit in the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, V'loi yiskase, loi b'mayim horoim. He should not cover himself either with mayim horoim. Now horoim normally means bad or evil. It doesn't mean evil water. So look at Rashi. Rashi says, "B'mayim haroim, mayim seruchim." What's mayim seruchim? Cloudy or dirty water. Do not, however, cover yourself with dirty water. V'loi b'mei hamishre. Mei hamishre is they used to have pishton. Pishton is cotton or flax, which needed to be soaked in water. That's the way that you treated it. Now, when you soak the flax in the water would obviously become very clouded and dirty and perhaps odorous. So if one is dipping in water like that, then this option is not available. Now, paradoxically, I may have been excused for thinking that actually this water is better off. Because if in fact it's cloudy and dirty, then it certainly acts as a cover more than transparent pure water. So why are we saying that regular water can serve as a covering, but not Mayim Seruchim? So clearly we see that it's not the color or the transparency of the water. When we say that you cannot cover yourself in Mayim Seruchim, what we mean is because of kovod for the bracha. It's not kovod for the bracha to recite it if the water is dirty or has a foul odor which is emanating from the water. That's the issue. So essentially, Mayim can be a cover, even if it's transparent. That's not the issue over here. The issue is because of kovod for the bracha, kovod for the Shem Hashem. So it's not kovod to say Baruch Atah Hashem while surrounded by water that has a bad smell. Now, the following words are rather strange, and Rashi deals with them. Ad, even though we said that you should not be staying the bracha in dirty water with a bad odor, ad sheyatil l'soichon mayim, until you will pour water into them. That seems a little bit strange. What does that mean, you'll pour water into them? If you are in a mikveh, or in the sea, which is dirty, what does that mean, you'll pour water into them? What's that going to do? That will make the sea not water, not dirty, not smelly. You're going to have to pour in a million gallons. What's going on over here? What's the case? How can you possibly pour water in the mikveh, or in the sea, or in the river, wherever you may be, in order to negate or be mevatel this smelly water? Doesn't make any sense. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi sends us to a Gemara in Daf Chof Hei. Rashi says that this question that we just asked is the Gemara's question in Chof Hei. And as we've pointed out so many times, Rashi always, if there is a simple kasha in Pshat, in the Mishnah, then Rashi will point it out. Rashi does not need to point out a side question if the Mishnah can be understood al derech ha-pshat. But over here, simple posh pshat in the Mishnah makes no sense. How can you possibly talk about a case of pouring water into a sea or a river that will negate the Mayim Seruchim? It makes no sense. So the question like that, Rashi has to address. So Rashi says, Ad sheyitein r'seichon mayim. Uba Gemara Mefarish. Now, if you look, there's a little Aleph. And the Aleph sends you to the Agos HaBach. And the Bach changes the text in Rashi. It's not the Gemara Mefarish, but rather the Gemara Parish. If you look, you have the Agos HaBach at the side of the Gemara. The Gemara Parish. Mefarish means explains, but Parish means asks. It's not just an explanation, it's a kasha. Look back into Rashi. Uba Gemara Parich. The Gemara asks, Kamo Maya. How much water, Rami, can he throw Ba'ozil and keep on going? How much water do you expect him to throw into the sea and keep on going? Well, another gallon, another gallon, another gallon. Put in 10 billion gallons of water and then you'll change the whole nature of the sea. That doesn't seem to be the likely pshat in the Mishnah. Umafarish lo, and the Gemara there will explain, b'chasurei mechzera v'hochi k'toni. like we have in many, many cases, there is actually text which is missing from the Mishnah. And it's because there are words missing, that's why the simple reading of the Mishnah does not seem to make sense. And you've got to add in now another case. The Mishnah spoke about, do not read Kriya Shema if the name is Ra'im, or if it is Mei Mishra, two cases, either water which is cloudy or with a bad smell, or the water which has been used to soak flax. Says Rashi, Chisurei Mesra. There is something missing. There is a third case now which is missing, and the Gemara reinserts it into the Mishnah. What is that? V'hochi k'toni, and this is what it's supposed to be stated. Lo yikra eitzel mei raglayim. That's a new case. Lo yikra eitzel. We're not talking about he's standing in. He's standing next to eitzel. Until now, we're talking about somebody who is submerged in water, whether it be a mikveh or a sea. So clearly then, to start talking about pouring water into there seems highly unlikely. How much water is this guy expected to pour in? Says Rashi, quoting the Gemara, that there is a third case which is omitted, but it's reinserted by the Gemara. Not when you're standing in, but when you're standing next to Mei Raglayim, there also, obviously, you cannot say a bracha because of kavod issues. Because of kavod issues. There, that's when we say, as Rashi says in conclusion, ad sheyitein letochon mayim, until you pour water into the Mei Raglayim. So there, we no longer have the question of, how much water can this person be expected to pour in? He doesn't need to pour all that much. We're talking about, obviously, a small amount, a small puddle of Mei Raglayim, which certainly presents halachic problems. You cannot recite a bracha or a Kriya Shema in its presence. So you pour water, we have to work out how much water, but at least it seems a likely scenario. But if you're bathing in the sea, then obviously to pour water into the sea, to change the color of the sea, is an impossible proposition. So, you've really, in the text that we have in the Mishnah, the text cannot be read straightforward. You cannot read the Mishnah simply. You've got to add those words. So look at the Mishnah again. Period. Big stop. Then the next case of not being kirei eitzel mei raglayim, and that's where the words of ad sheyatil l'seichon mayim come in. So ad sheyatil l'seichon mayim is not referring to the cases that are actually mentioned in the Mishnah. Rather, it's referring to the case which is missing from the Mishnah. In which case is that? Don't read Kriya Shema next to Mei Raglayim. Says the Mishnah in conclusion, the Kamo Yarchik Mehen U Mehatsoya U Minatsoya. How far does one have to distance oneself from them? What's from them? Says Rashi, look at the last Rashi in the Mishnah, Mimei Raglayim. Again, this is referring to the case that is not mentioned in the Mishnah. This person is standing next to a puddle of Mei Raglayim. So if he has water available, so he'll flush it out, and therefore it won't be a problem anymore of lack of kavod. But if that's not an option, and he wants to distance himself from the Mei Raglayim, or from tzoya is excrement, how far does one have to distance oneself in order for it now to be permitted to say Kriya Shema or Daven? Says the Mishnah, Dalad Amos. Now this is a whole big discussion. What does that mean, Dalad Amos? Does Dalad Amos mean Dalad Amos from where the Tzoya is? Or does Dalad Amos mean Dalad Amos from where you can no longer smell the Tzoya? presumably, if you're dalad amas away, but you can still smell the reyach, which is unpleasant, then l'chayra, it would still be considered lack of kavod for the bracha. So we'd have to discuss that. We'd also have to discuss, does it make a difference if the tsoya is covered or not covered? This is extremely negeya. Very, very commonly asked questions. Especially, you know, if you go out of the house, you go to a park, and you have a picnic in the park, and you want a bench. And you find yourself, and there's some unpleasant smell coming in your direction. Or there might be a garbage can near you. How close and how far are you allowed to be in order to bench? This is, of course, also very negea, mamish negea, every single day. A family had young children at home, a baby in diapers. So are they allowed to bench? Do they have to check? We're going to see that in the Gemara. Do they have to check the diaper in order to be able to see whether they can bench? And what happens if they did not check and it turned out that there was soya? So it's covered. Does it depend on how far you were? Was there a smell? Could you see it? Etc., etc., etc. So for the moment, we were just given a very general guideline that one has to distance oneself. Dalad amos. Dalad amos. Be'ezus Hashem, we will see more details about this in the Gemara. So let's make a start to the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanon, says the Gemara. We're going back now to the first halacha, which was, you remembered that you were a Baal Keri in the middle of davening, so we said you should not interrupt your tefillah, but rather you should continue davening, but bekitza, the brief version. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon, Hoyo oimeid v'tfilo, v'nizkeshu baal keri. Now, it doesn't say tanan, it says Tanu Rabbanon. Tanu Rabbanon means it was learned in a braisa. So it's very, very similar wording, so far identical to the Mishnah, but we'll see this braisa adds another halacha. Tanu Rabbanon, hoyo oimeid v'tfilo. If somebody was standing in the middle of tfilo, v'nizkeshu baal keri. Lo yapsik, elo yekatzer. Okay, so far, no chidush, that is a word-for-word repeat of the Mishnah. Then it says, ho yokoyre batoyro. Before we were talking about the hoyo'oymeid bitfilo. And now we're talking about somebody who's being koyre batoyro. What is there? Kriyat ha-toyro. He's in the middle of kriyat ha-toyro. And once again, the Nizkar Shehu Baal Keri, and he remembers all of a sudden that he's a Baal Keri. So again, Einoi Mapsik V'Oila, he will not stop in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah V'Oila and rise up, in other words, leave the Sefer Torah, just abandon it in the middle. Elo megamgein v'koyre. What does megamgein v'koyre mean? So look at Rashi. Rashi says one word, megamgein b'marutza. Again, b'marutza, the shayrish of the word b'marutza is rots, to run, so he will read the remaining part of Kriyas HaTorah B'Marutza running through it. Now, of course, you don't have in Kriyas HaTorah the same option that you do in Tefillah. In Tefillah, when you remember it is a Baal Keri, so what do? You say the remaining part of the bracha is B'Ktzara, the brief version. That option is obviously not available when we're talking about Kriyas HaTorah. You cannot do a brief version of a pasuk. You're not allowed to change a pasuk in any which way, add or detract. So therefore that's why this braisa split into two. If you're in the middle of davening, then you can always say the remaining part of davening, the brief version, but if you're in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah and that option is not available, so at least Megamgen, at least read the rest quickly. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Meir Oimer, Ein Balkeri, Rasha'i Likreis Batayra, Yoyser Migimol Psukim. Even though we said that the Balkeri continues, albeit the Marutza, but how much can you continue? So again, the case of Tfilah, so when we said continue, obviously that means till the end. But when we're talking about Kriyas HaTorah, how much is he allowed to read? So Rameah tells us no more than 3 psukim. And then he should stop. Says Rashi, Yoyser Megimol Psukim, Kagon, for example, the Beis HaKnesses. We're talking about he's in shul. We're not talking about somebody's at home and he's learning Torah from a Sefer Torah that they used to. Rather, we're talking about somebody's in shul and he's actually doing Kriyas HaTorah. The E Efsher Lifchois, where you cannot do any less than 3 psukim. Kriyas, as the Mishnah tells us in Megillah, HaKorei BaTorah, anybody who reads in the Torah, Loi Yifchois Megimol Psukim. As we know, Kriyas HaTorah is never, ever, without any exception, never less than 3 psukim. If somebody gets an aliyah, you cannot have less than 3 psukim. That type of kriya does not exist. So if the minimum kriya is 3 psukim, says Rabbi Yis, says Rabbi Meir, that minimum for the Balkeri becomes the maximum. Because I see from that Mishnah that the minimal amount of kriya that one can do is 3 psukim. So for this Balkeri, who essentially I didn't really want him reading Torah at all, but he started, and he only realizes the Balkeri in the middle, so after 3 psukim, at least then he should stop. Why 3 psukim? As we just said, because 3 psukim constitutes Kriyas HaTorah. Says the Gemara, Tanya Idach. We have learned in another braisa, Hoya Oimeid Vetzilo. If somebody was standing in the middle of davening, Vero'o Soya Kenegdoi, and he saw Soya in front of him. It does not say how far in front of him. It sounds like, even if the Tsoya would be Kenegdoi more than 4 Amos, that would be a problem. If you can see it, if it's in front of you. So what must you do? Mahalech Lefonov. You must walk until you are standing in front of it. Achi Yizrekeno La'achoyrov Dalad Amos. Until the Tsoya is, as it were, thrown behind him 4 Amos. So you've got to be in front of the Tsoya, so that you cannot see it. But you've also got to be Dalad Amos away, as we said in the Mishnah. You've always got to be Dalad Amos away from Tsoya. So here we see that there's 2 issues. There's 1 issue which is not being within 4 Amos of Tsoya. But there's another issue is that one should not be able to see the Tsoya if it's in front of you, even if it's more than Dalad Amos. Therefore, in order to avoid that, first things first, get yourself in front of the Tzoya. But just 2 Amos or 3 Amos in front of the Tzoya is not good enough because you're still within a 4 Amos radius of the Tzoya. So therefore you stand so that the Tzoya is behind you but 4 Amos away. Says the Gemara, one word kasha, v'hotanya, but we have a braisa that says, litzadim. We have another braisa that says that no, you don't need to walk 4 Amos in front of it. Rather, you just need to position yourself 4 Amos to the side of it. Which means that you do less walking. Imagine you're standing 5 amas behind the tzoyah. So if you've got to get yourself 4 amas in front of it, you're walking 9 amas altogether. 5 to get yourself to the tzoyah, then another 4. And yet here it says you don't need to do that. You just need to walk and stop it 4 amas away to the side, which is obviously much less than 9 amas. Because you're walking to the tzoyah and 4 amas away. So you go in a diagonal line that's much less than 9 amas. So what's going on? Do you have to walk in front of it so that the tzoyah is behind you? Or does it suffice that the tzoyah is next to you? That's the sphira. Says the Gemara, it's not a kasha. Loi kasha. Ho the efsha. Ho the loi efsha. One is where it is possible, and one is where it is not possible. It is not necessarily always possible to situate yourself 4 amas in front of the tzoyah. What will be an example, says Rashi? V'hotanya letzodim. We have learned in a braisa that it suffices to go to the sides. Ein tzorich lahalich. One does not need to go ad shetehei la'achoyrov. Until such point that the tzoyah is behind you. No, you don't need to do that. It's enough that it's next to you. Just it shouldn't be in front of you. What's the maila, by the way, when the tzoyah is next to you? Because then again, it's out of your sight. It's out of your vision. It's out of your sight. You've still got to get Dalad Amos away. That's always true, even if you can't see it. But as long as I'm not standing behind it, I'm standing to the side of it, so it's not within sight. Says Rashi, explaining the Gemara, it depends. The Efshar, where it is possible, Leilech Lefonov. If it is possible to walk in front of the Tzoyah, then Yelech Lefonov. Indeed, that's exactly what you should do. You should go in front of it, Adshetahila Chayrov, until the Tzoyah will be behind you. But if it is loy efsha, kagoin yesh nohor lefonov, he's got a river in front of him. So he's standing facing the river, that's Mizrach, and the tzoyah right there on the riverbank. So you can't tell him go in front of the tzoyah, you can't tell him, that's the river. It's going to end up in the water. So that's when we said, mistalik litzdodim. So there he will just move himself towards the sides, and that'll be good enough. Fine, very good. Okay, so we're going to hold it over here. I'm happy to learn again tomorrow if, I know we don't normally learn on Thursdays, but we haven't learned this week. So tomorrow is good for everybody? Yeah? Okay, so we'll leave it for the moment, and we'll pick up tomorrow, Mr. Hashem, 8:45. And then Bez Hashem, next week we'll get back to the regular schedule of Sunday through Wednesday.
Okay, you should go off.
Great.
Sure. Thank you very
much. You everybody have a wonderful day and a wonderful Zman, Bez Hashem.
Amen.
All the best. Be well.